Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
How many people are having a wonderful time of the year so far? Okay, we got a few, and then some of us are, you know, having a year, and that's good too, and that works, and all that kind of stuff. I hope it's been festive a little bit so far, maybe heartwarming, family building. I know we had a great time. Many of you guys were at our place last night for the Center Church like Christmas open house thing that we had. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was good. We had a blast, and that's kind of what this season is all about. We are starting a new series today called Joyous, or Joy Us. Like, how many people couldn't use maybe a little bit more joy to us? And that's what we're going to be doing. But as we talk about this topic of joy, it occurs to me that as much as I love having joy, I like having the ups of life. Mine just keeps having some downs too. Is anybody with me in there? It's like it does this, right? It's like peaks and valleys and all that kind of stuff. There's sort of mountaintops and valleys, good times, hard times. And as I was thinking about it this week, if you think about it, maybe you can relate to this in your life. These times, high times, low times, they tend to be crammed into the same real estate somehow. Like in the same sort of, you know, footprint of our lives, it's very common. It's one of the reasons why the holidays can actually be one of the most challenging times for people as much as it is a nostalgic, heartwarming, fun time of year for folks. And if you feel like sometimes it's both of those things smashed together, then you're what we call normal around here because that's very common. Wonderful has this way of walking hand in hand with, whoa, I can't believe that just happened. Like, where did that, the sort of, whoa, where did that come from sort of experience? That happened to me on Friday night. I was out running my greatest parenting regret, my dog Juno, okay? And this was just something that I started doing. I was going and getting a good sweat on. It was around 10 p.m. at night. And I'm listening to a podcast, and then it took some time to listen to some worship music and some other stuff like that. Just sort of me and the dog, it's nighttime and it's kind of crisp, but it's quiet in South Park, and I'm running around, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know, man, what a wonderful life God's given to me. Like, I've got so many things I can be thankful for, and all the, you know, twinkly Christmas lights are out. All the overachievers are out. They've already done their house, you know. And so I'm enjoying all their, you know, lights and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, as I'm running along in the dark on one of South Park's many broken sidewalks, I tripped. Now, I can't blame it on my dog because my dog's not an overachiever dog, okay? When we go running, Juno's always in back. She stretches the leash as far as it can go, hoping that I will stop. That's my dog, okay? And so it wasn't my dog's fault. I just tripped, and I had my phone in my hand, and I got to tell you, I didn't just sort of trip. You know how, like, you trip, and then you, like, look around, and you're kind of embarrassed. You hope nobody noticed and all that kind of stuff. This was not what just happened. I tripped and I old man barrel rolled on the street. I literally face planted down. Like, I tore myself completely up. I broke my phone. There was no recovering. There's no like, oh, I wonder what happened. I did a full-blown face plant into one of those cute little craftsman houses that somebody, you know, like remodeled. Laid it out right there at 10 o'clock at night. Now, if they'd have looked out the window, they may not have seen me because it was dark, but they heard me, you know what I'm saying? It sounded like somebody was getting mugged on their doorstep. That was me. And so it went from this wonderful thing to this, whoa, what just happened moment. I'm laying on my back in the dark. My dog finally catches up and investigates, right? And it was like crazy. And so it was wonderful in one sense, but at the same moment, kind of difficult. And if you've ever felt that contradiction at some point in this year, maybe you're struggling a bit with certain challenges, maybe sometimes gets you down, I want you to know that I can totally relate to you. And not just because I tripped and face-planted into a Craftsman in South Park on Friday night. Frankly, I personally have been in a pretty challenging season. If I can just kind of be honest with you here today. Can we just like talk straight here for a second? I have personally been in a pretty challenging season lately. I've struggled quite a bit. I've faced some discouraging things. I have gone through some stuff, and maybe even think probably even a better word to describe it would be depressed. Ironically, that's been in a context of so many other great things that are going on. See what I mean about it? Like wonderful family, great, incredible wife, don't deserve her. Like all kinds of stuff surrounding in my life that just kind of get compressed sometimes with discouraging things. And that's been me. That's kind of been my journey that I've been going through. Now, I don't want you to worry about me, okay? Because I'm on a plan. I got some great people in my life. I got a great coach, mentor, pastor, friend of mine that's working with me. I'm taking steps, okay? I'm getting stronger. God's doing some pretty incredible things in my life. And I'm like in advance kind of proclaiming victory in many of those things because I think God's up to something good in my life. In fact, that is a lifelong conviction of mine. That God's always up to something, and it's always good. I don't always know what it is, but he's up to something good. He's up to something good in my life. He's up to something good in yours. And so I guess what I personally am going through right now is kind of proving my point that life is full of mountaintop experiences, and it's also full of valleys. It's full of good times, and it's full of hard times. And often they occupy the same real estate very close together. And so today I want to look at a pretty incredible passage of scripture that really ministered to me this past week. And it's in the book of Psalms. And it's a psalm that one scholar described in a way that really kind of captured me and grabbed me. He described it this way. It's a psalm of the sweetness of the journey. Don't you love that? I think that's really cool. A psalm of the sweetness of the journey. It's Psalm 84. It's all about life's journey. And I want to read this passage of Scripture here together as we begin. And I want you to let these words kind of sink into you. This is a rich passage of Scripture if you find yourself having gone through some mountaintops, but also experiencing sometimes the valley experience. The psalmist writes this. He says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns." Don't you love that word? It's like powerful words. "Even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we can cry out to a living God, not a dead one? A God who's alive, a God who's attentive to where we are. Well, we don't have to cry out and kind of try to wake him up, do calisthenics, hope he's paying attention. He's a living God. He says, "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God." And look at this, verse 4. This is where we're going to focus today. He says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you." Not strength in themselves. Not strength in this world, but blessed is the person whose strength's in you, God, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, now this is kind of an interesting term. I've never been through the valley of Baca. Anybody been to Baca Valley? No, I've been to Mission Valley a few times. I paddled my boat through there this week, right, with all the rain and stuff. I've been to Mission Valley, never been to Baca Valley, but it turns out I did a little bit of research. What's the significance of going through the Valley of Baca? The Valley of Baca actually means the Valley of Tears, and this was a real place. And the reason it got its name, the Valley of Tears, is because there was a particular kind of tree that grew in this valley that produced a sap that would drip from the tree limbs. So when you were traveling through it, it looked like the trees were crying. The sap would like hang down. They looked like tears. That's why they called it the Valley of Tears. And so you see this like word picture is kind of rich. He says, as they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. What the psalmist is saying is that they're passing through it. They're not staying there. They don't build a house. They don't, like, make a condo out of it, move in, and start paying HOAs. Okay? They're passing through, and they say they make it a place of springs. Now, I love this because not only when we go through the hard season, the valley of tears, not only are we passing through, it says that while I'm there, I can actually bust out a spring. Okay? In fact, the psalmist is saying, dig yourself a well when you're in those dry places. Dig yourself a well because there's rain that's going to be coming. God's going to send a refreshing rain. It's going to pour out into your life. Now, that's kind of hard to wrap our brains around when we actually go through a hard valley because it kind of feels dry, kind of feels hot. It's the last thing I want to do is to be digging a ditch. But what the psalmist is saying is, dig in because there's a rain coming. What's happening is when you're in the valley, there's a pool party coming your way, okay? You might be in a valley, but who wouldn't want to have a pool when you're there? That's kind of what the psalmist is saying. I love that. He says they go from strength to strength in verse 7 till each appears before God in Zion. What he's saying is, I'm getting stronger. I'm getting stronger. Is there hardship? Yeah, there's hardship. There's struggle sometimes. But joy? Yes. And so do you see now why that scholar called Psalm 84 described it as the sweetness of the journey? Because what he's saying is, yeah, there's hard stuff that happens that goes on in our life, but there's a sweetness here. There's a sweetness. And I can totally relate to that. Over the past 5 years as we've been planting this church, I can think back on so much sweetness in the journey for me personally. I remember so fondly so many incredible memories of doing ministry stuff with you guys. And we could literally stop having the talk right now and literally just go person by person and talk about the fun, incredible, amazing stuff that's happened. Watching you guys serve. We've done it even this season so far. Watching you guys and watching us as a community as we have extended ourselves in generosity and risked and invested ourselves in people. It's pretty cool. Some of the most powerful moments of my life. Really, truly. But they've also been some of the most challenging moments of my life, if I'm being honest. Okay? There's been moments of struggle. And there's been failure. And there's been rejection. I don't know what you're thinking. How on earth would anyone ever reject you? You're so attractive to people. And I get it. I know what you're saying. But be that as it may. Okay? I've had identity issues. Anybody got identity issues? Okay, I'm willing to admit, I've struggled with it. Anybody over the course of the past 5 years struggled at all with any unfulfilled expectations in their life? Okay, the rest of you all are liars, okay? Because this is something I deal with like on the daily. That's part of what it is. And so it got me thinking this week how interesting it is that we can have both the high experience, sort of mountaintop experiences, and we can have valley experiences. And how is it that when I feel like I'm wanting to roll at the top of the mountain, there's always a valley nearby to rain on my parade? But then I started thinking, well, isn't it, if you think about it like geographically, whenever you see a mountain, there's always a valley kind of nearby somewhere. And whenever you see a valley, usually there's a mountain somewhere in the picture, okay? And so things can be incredibly messy and incredible at the exact same time, and that's kind of life. For example, our marriage, if you're married, your marriage can just be rolling like 5 stars, man. Just like, come on, girl, get over here and give me some of that. Like, awesome, okay? And at the exact same time, your kids are going off the rails. Your kids are one-starring it, okay? And it collides together at the same time, and it's frustrating. You can be crushing it at work. And you can be getting the raises and the promotions and the, like, you're doing great. All your goals are awesome. And then your health starts not cooperating. You start getting sick and you start feeling maybe emotionally down and nobody even knows it because what they see is you're just crushing it. But man, like when nobody's looking, you're like, holy moly, I don't know if I can keep up the pace. Or maybe school's going well and you're making A's and you're crushing. Every time a test comes around, you're just destroying it, okay? You're just summa cum, thank you, Lordy, I'm so awesome, okay? And that's kind of what I was like in school sometimes. Like a little bit of, I struggled here and there. I did reasonably well in some stuff, but when it came to math, for example, I struggled, okay? Back when I was, I came from the generation you could graduate high school with pre-algebra. Come on, give me a shout out to the 80s, all right? That's what I'm talking about, a little general math. All right, so, but you could be succeeding in one area, maybe doing well academically or in some pursuit like that, while at the same time, your relationships are just falling apart, okay? Maybe you can relate to that. But you say to yourself, I say to myself all the time, I don't want my life to be like that. I'd rather not have valleys messing with my mountaintops. Okay? And I'm going to choose to step from one mountaintop to the next. And how many books are out there on the market that are basically, in a nutshell, telling you how to step from one mountaintop to the next? Right? Like, oh man, valleys are for the birds. Let's just all summa cum, thank you, Lordy, all day long. And that's just what we're going to do. But all I have to say is, who does that? When is this actually real? Even if I think that that's how my life ought to be, and maybe that's what I'm expecting, it just doesn't show up. I don't know if you considered it. Maybe you thought that at some point you were, going to get married and have this idyllic experience and everything was just going to be awesome and, sizzle and sparkle and just chemistry every single day. And I'm going to have kids and they're going to be perfect. They're going to wake up anointed, having their devotions every morning, just like bringing me breakfast in bed and washing my car and all that kind of stuff. And then you have your actual life and your actual marriage and your actual kids and none of that thing happened. And you think to yourself, man, this kind of stinks. But the reality is that's just not life, is it? We know that. But we expect that it won't be like that because life is full of mountains and valleys. But there's this really powerful truth that I want us to embrace here today. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. We get to enjoy God on the mountain, but we get to know Him in the valley. We get to enjoy God on the mountain, but we get to know Him in the valley. The truth is, I don't learn much on the mountain. I'm not alone, neither do you. When's the last time you came to these deep awarenesses of yourself laying on a beach with a drink with an umbrella in it? Those are awesome times, not knocking it. I enjoy it on the mountain, but I really get to know God in the valley. I lean into Him in the valley. I might enjoy Him on the mountaintop, but I get to know Him in the hard times. I have never grown as a person. I've never grown as a dad. I've never grown as a leader. I've never grown as a husband or a friend. When all of my plans are perfect and everybody in my life is behaving in the way that I expect them to. Yeah? I don't grow in those seasons at all. I don't learn much. I don't get developed. Because valley experiences reveal some things. And write this down. Valleys get my attention. Okay? Valleys get my attention. When I'm up on the mountaintop, I'm taking selfies. I'm just burning it up. My selfies, I'm wearing out the button. I'm like, man, things are great. I got to document this moment. I could not be crushing this more. Someone needs to take notice. I'm broadcasting this out here. And then that's basically what I just described is pretty much everybody's Instagram feed. Okay? But you put me in a valley. I go from taking selfies to where is my devotion app? It changes my whole trajectory. Put me in a valley and now you have my attention. Because valleys get me leaning into God. Valleys get me focused more in prayer. Valleys remind me that I'm not my own source. Valleys remind me that I actually need help. So there's actually a really positive benefit that's masquerading as a valley in our life. It actually gets your attention in ways that maybe you never considered. Because if you're like me, you're always just trying to scramble out of the valley, make it stop, right? Let me get back up to the top of the mountain. I got to get back to doing selfies. Valleys get my attention. And letter B, valleys cause me to take inventory. I examine my life more closely in the valley. I begin to count up what really matters. I weigh out my relationships. I'm more open to change in the valley. And when I'm on the top of the mountain, why would I change? Stop bothering me. I'm taking selfies. But when I'm going through something difficult, now, give me some input here. I don't like this. What needs to change? And I'm usually more willing to dig deeper in my relationship with God. Look at what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. It's a very famous passage of Scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. Valleys cause me to take some inventory. Now, you ever seen those guys that are out at the beach with the metal detectors? You know, they're out, they're doing their thing. And I don't know what it is. There's a dress code for this. It's always like really short shorts, like old guy wife beater, long black socks. You know the one I'm talking about? They've always got a headband for some reason because it's hard work. And they got the headphones on and they're out there and they're just searching. Boop, 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 boop. All right, they're like looking around because they're positive. There's some gold bars up underneath the sand. You have been doing your picnics on top of for years, but I'm going to find the gold bars. And I'm out there looking. And they're rocking it out. You know, they kind of look like, you know, Richard Simmons, like not a good look, right? And they're just out there doing it. But they're positive that there's something awesome right underneath the surface. I'm out there, like, I know somebody parked their Mercedes-Benz out here and the tide came up and buried it. The G-Wagon's under here somewhere. I'm going to get it somehow. And then do you ever watch them when they actually find something that, like, the alarm goes off? They, like, the headphones come off. They drop all their stuff and they just start digging. You see, have you ever seen these guys? They're passionate about this. It's a thing. That's the power of a valley in your spiritual life. Is the valley kind of gets your attention. The valley causes you to take inventory. The valley will cause you to drop everything else and just dig. Like, dig for your life. There's got to be something in here. I need some kind of something. I can't see it here, but it'll cause me to dig. And unfortunately, it usually takes a valley to get us digging for it. But there's this treasure in God that is present in the valley, and a valley usually puts us in a place to just get more desperate for it. So here's my encouragement to you, is that if you actually feel like you're in that place of struggle, there's great news for you. Maybe what's actually going on is that as you're rocking out your high socks and Richard Simmons wife beater, the alarm just went off. And maybe it's time to start dropping some stuff and digging. And I want to draw out of Psalm 84 here today, something that maybe you can relate to for people that don't always just walk from mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop. Okay? I'm talking to some folks, I think, here today that are at least vaguely familiar with the valley. And I want to draw out some declarations that draw out a joy for us. The declarations for living an I'm getting stronger kind of joy. That's really what Psalm 84 is all about. It's about the sweetness of the journey. It's about the declaration that says, I'm getting stronger. How do I take a deeper step, a richer step, a stronger step toward joy for my life? And these are the declarations. Number one, I'm getting stronger in my gratitude. I'm going to go get stronger in my gratitude. Look at verse 4 again. This is in the Passion Translation. I love this translation of the Bible. It says, what pleasure fills those who live every day in your temple, enjoying you as they worship. Would you underline that little line? Enjoying you as they worship in your presence. Pause in his presence. I want to remind you, do not underestimate the power of gratitude in your life. We've just recently come through a season of Thanksgiving, and at a certain point, sometimes these concepts, especially around this time of year, can almost become like the Sunday school answer. Like, yeah, I know, like, what's the five things I'm thankful for? And we just like, no, that's what we're supposed to do. But I'm talking about growing stronger in your gratitude at a deep, visceral level. Like, what's the good stuff that's gone on in my life? And that's really, it says that they enjoy God in worship. What is worship, really? Well, it's the time that, you know, the band plays and sings and we all stand around and watch, right? Isn't that the time? No, I'm kidding. What is worship, really? Let me just kind of give you a very succinct definition of what worship is. Worship is when I tell God who He is. That's what worship is. It's me telling God who He is. It's reflecting on His goodness, upon His character. It's acknowledging, man, you're God and I'm not. It's saying, God, man, you have done so much for me. I'm not worthy, but man, am I sure thankful. It's growing stronger in our gratitude. It's pausing to say thank you. When's the last time you did that? I mean, to do what that verse says, to pause in His presence and just say thank you. Sometimes this takes getting quiet for just a second and turning down the knob of the volume knob of everything else, all the din of everything else, just pausing and say, man, God, I'm thankful. Thank you. And get specific. I came across a quote from a theologian in the 20th century. His name is Karl Barth, and he said this. He said, joy is the simplest form of gratitude. It's joy is gratitude at its most DNA level. Living an I'm getting stronger kind of joy starts with getting stronger in my gratitude. I did something this past week that was actually really, really incredible, incredibly powerful. And I'm actually disappointed to admit that this is the first time that I've ever done this in my Christian life. I bought a journal, and I dedicated every page in it from here on out to reflecting on what I'm thankful for. I created a gratitude journal. And part of the reason that I did that is that upon reflection on my own life, I don't spend near enough time thanking God for all the good stuff that He's doing in my life. And so I wrote in it every day this past week. And I got to let you know, I didn't do that as a sermon illustration because at the time, I didn't even know what I was talking about. Okay? So I'm not angling you. I wrote in it every week and every day, and it revolutionized my week. It's amazing how much time I can spend all up in my head thinking about all the stuff that's not going right, thinking about all the people that have done me wrong, you know, thinking about all the things, the stinking thinking. Am I by myself? Like, yeah, this is like stuff we deal with, right? It was amazing what a drain I circle when I spend my time doing that. But beginning my day with gratitude, it broke that cycle in my heart and mind. Maybe you could try it. The gratitude step, I'm growing stronger in my gratitude, that's good on the mountain. There's no substitute for it in the valley. It's absolutely essential. I'm getting stronger in my gratitude. Here's number two. I'm getting stronger in my choices. I'm getting stronger in my choices. Verse 5, this is in the Voice translation. It says, blessed are those who make you their strength, for they treasure every step of the journey. I'm getting stronger in my choices here. I'm making the choice to get stronger in the Lord. The psalmist is saying, my strength is in you, Lord. And I don't know, I see an awful lot of people trying their best to live life in their own strength. I'm ashamed to admit, I try to do that on my own way more than I like to admit. And the problem is that works for some of us some of the time. That's why we keep doing it. It's like it kind of sort of works sometimes. But here's the problem. What happens when you run out of strength? Well, I'm living in my own strength. I'm going, I'm running, I'm going. I am a self-made man. I am a self-made woman. What happens when you run out of gas? That's the problem. What happens when all your strength is gone? You ever had that happen to you? You were doing fine just a second ago, and now all of a sudden, you've lost all your strength. I was just running down the sidewalk, happy-go-lucky, and then I'm face-planted in front of the cutest little craftsman in South Park. And all of a sudden, they just snuck up on me. And sometimes, we need to be aware that that can turn on a dime in our lives and in the lives of the people that we care about all around us. So can I just kind of encourage you? Check on your friends. If you're doing okay today, you're going like, hey, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just like, I'm mountaintopping this thing. I'm summa cum thank you, Lardy. Check on your friends. Check on your quiet friends. Check on your really loud, you think they got it all together friends. Check on your friends that you know are struggling. And just check in on the ones that you think have got it all together. Because these mountains and these valleys tend to occupy the same real estate. And it doesn't take too much to get somebody going from, man, this is just the most wonderful time of the year, to face down in front of a craftsman. Just saying. You never know if a valley just showed up in somebody's life and they just lost all their strength. And so when you do, and when you check in, you're not just checking in and saying, hey, man, buck up, camper. It's going to be okay. Have you read this? Hey, this is like, you know, here's a little trick. 5 happy hops to stay on the top of the mountain. When you check in, point them back to their real source. Point them back to their true source of strength. The psalmist says, blessed are those who make God their strength. And if you look at that last part of verse 5 again, it says that they treasure every step of the journey. I like that. Who wouldn't want to do that? Who wouldn't want to treasure every step of the journey? That's good stuff, okay? So get a little stronger in your choices to make God your source of strength. Here's number 3. I'm getting stronger as I step forward and dig deep. Okay, I'm taking steps and I'm digging deep as I go. Look at verse 6 again. It says, even when their paths wind through the dark valley of tears, they dig deep to find a pleasant pool where others find only pain. That's amazing. He says he gives them a brook of blessing filled from the rain of an outpouring. That God's pouring something out. They're taking steps. They're digging a little deeper. That's good. That's a declaration that I can make in my life. Then God, I'm going to take steps. I'm going to dig a little bit deeper in you. The valleys have this way of reminding me that I don't have it all together. I'm taking some steps. I love reading about Mount Everest and expeditions that have gone to Mount Everest. I like watching movies about it, and it's like awesome. And I'm never going to go to Mount Everest, okay? I'm never climbing that dumb mountain. I'm never doing it. But I like reading about it, and I like hearing the stories of that. I like watching about the cold and the frostbite, this Herculean physical endurance that it takes to climb it. And I like doing all of that while I'm at home sipping hot chocolate. You know, it's a blessing. And I just enjoy that. But there was this doctor that I saw he was interviewed. He had just summited and had come back. And now he's being interviewed about his experience. Now, mind you, Mount Everest is over 29,000 feet high. 29,000 feet. That means that, like, if you built a stairwell, which would make climbing Everest way easier, by the way, but if you could actually build a stairwell, it would be about 60,000 steps to go from the bottom of Mount Everest to the top. 60,000 steps. And so he was asked, this doctor was asked, how did you do it? How did you make it to the top of this 60,000 step experience? He said something that I thought was really powerful. He said, I did it one step at a time. I just took one step at a time. Do you catch yourself sometimes being overwhelmed by this daunting, like what lies ahead of you, the challenge that's there? It's like, holy smokes, that's like 60,000 steps. How do you do that? 60,000 steps? That's what it takes to climb up to the thing? And I'm here to tell you this. No, it doesn't. And I dig what that doctor said. It only takes one step. Getting headed in the right direction takes one step. Just one step forward and digging a little deeper. It doesn't take 60,000 steps to start getting stronger. It takes one. And so here's the question. What is your next step? I think it's worth asking yourself that question when you're in the valley. The valley was never intended for you to build a condo and move in. We're moving through. We're on our way. We're getting stronger. What's your next right step? You need to download a Bible app and start a reading program. It's pretty easy to do. Take you literally about 15 seconds. Okay? You need to join a small group and maybe a ministry team around here and just get connected with some other people so that you can have somebody check in with you. You need to start a gratitude journal. That took no time. You need to write out a list of the people that you're choosing to forgive today. I did that this week. That'll blow your mind. Why don't you sit down with a piece of paper and start writing out the names of people that you need to forgive? They haven't apologized. They never will. I'm saying forgiving people that you will never receive an apology for. You want to leave a little time on a notepad, a lot lighter, take 5 minutes and forgive a few people. Go on a run with your dog. Just avoid South Park sidewalks, okay? How do you get through the valley? You get through the valley with one step, one step, one step, and a mentality that says, I'm just passing through here. I am not moving in. I'm not laying my roots here. This place sucks. Everybody passes through. But I am not raising my kids here. I am not going to grow old and make this my heritage. I'm passing through. Come on, somebody who's with me. Okay. Look at Psalm 23. I gave this to you in the Passion Translation again because I'm kind of digging on this fresh take on this passage of Scripture. It's very famous, but it says, Lord, even when your path, look at this, takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, because you already have. He says, you remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. That's good. Not your authority. You're not in charge. Other people's opinion of you aren't in charge. His authority in your life is strength and peace. He says, the comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. I may be in the valley, but I'm not going to live in the valley. The valley is not going to define my future. The valley is not going to define my world, because I'm going to keep stepping. I'm going to keep stepping. Going to keep stepping. The devil, I really believe this, the devil wants to keep you stuck and stale in your spiritual life. He wants nothing more than that in your life. You feel stuck and stale, he's sitting back going, mission accomplished. I got him to move in. He's in the business of selling real estate in the valley. And if he can get you to bite and buy and build yourself a mansion, mission accomplished. He wants to keep you stuck and stale in the valley, but you just make that declaration today. I'm getting stronger as I step forward. I'm digging deep. And then here's the last one. We'll be done. I'm getting stronger in my personal faith. God, I just declare that to you today. I'm going to get stronger in my personal faith. Look at verse 7 again. It says, they journey from place to place, gaining strength along the way. Underline that little line. Until they meet God. We're going to get there. You're going to get there. We're going from place to place. The NIV translation says they go from strength to strength. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting stronger in Jesus' name. I'm getting stronger in my personal faith. I'm getting stronger as I begin to worship God in my little Spotify playlist on my commute to work. I'm getting stronger as I'm joining a small group. I'm getting stronger because I'm going to go and serve somebody else, get my mind off my own problems. I'm going to give to somebody that needs it. I'm getting stronger as I reflect on all the things that I can be grateful for. I'm getting stronger as I get my health and my nutrition in order. That's important. I'm telling you what, man, you're like endorphin messages to your brain. It's a big deal. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting stronger as I lean into my personal walk with God because He's my source. And Isaiah chapter 40 is an awesome like bookend, I think, to Psalm 84. And it just kind of underlines and exemplifies what has been made available to you and me in this personal faith, in this relationship with Jesus that's been offered to you. Look at what verse 28 says. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Isaiah says, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor is weary. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't take naps. He never calls in sick. He never puts his phone on do not disturb. He never faints nor is weary. It says his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall, face plants on the footsteps of, you know, cute little craftsmen. But those who wait on the Lord, look at this, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm going to keep stepping. Don't stop. Don't quit. Run, don't be weary. Walk, don't be faint. It's time to mount up. And if you get to this point where you're like, you know what, I've lost my strength. That's good news for you. Mount up. Because he increases the strength of those who are weary. If you have fallen down, his strength lifts you up. It's just a valley. It's just a valley. There's a mountain nearby. Maybe this was just real helpful to get your attention real quick. Help you take some inventory. That's what it has been for me. Now go strengthen yourself in the Lord. Make the declaration, I'm going to get stronger in my gratitude. I'm getting stronger in my choices. I'm getting stronger as I step forward and I dig deeper. I'm getting stronger in my personal faith. Would you bow your heads with me? It occurs to me that I may not be alone. And somebody needs to strengthen themselves in the Lord. And so I'm not going to belabor the point. But if you can resonate with what I've been saying, and you're like, you know what? I'm in a valley. I'm walking hard through it. I feel like all my strength is gone. And oh my goodness, what do? I want to give you the opportunity to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not be faint. And it doesn't come by you digging deeper in yourself. It comes from looking to the true source of your strength. And he equips and brings wind to the sail of those who are completely disillusioned and disappointed. He brings healing to broken people. Our God is a God that lifts people who have fallen down. So if you're here today and you just don't want to leave this place the same way you walked in, I want to pray for you in just a second. But would you be willing to admit that you've got some declarations to make? And if you'd be willing to slip up your hand and say, I'm willing to get stronger. I'm willing to step toward him. Would you just lift up your hand? Let me see. I'm going to pray for you here in just a second. Hands all over this place. So thankful, Lord, that here in your presence, we don't have to wonder whether you've got enough supply to cover all of the need. Your love and your power and strength is inexhaustible, and you never grow weary. You never fall asleep on the job. And I believe that even right now, your desire out of your heart is to bring encouragement and strength and upward joy. The I'm getting stronger kind of joy that overcomes even our current circumstance that we don't even see how that's possible. But Lord, we're stepping. We're stepping. We're not staying stuck and stale here. We believe that you have more for us. And I pray for my friends that have lifted a hand, being willing to admit they don't have it all together. I pray that now you would become our strength. Lift our burden. Help us recognize how much we have to be grateful for. Help us to recognize that our true source of strength is in you. It's only in you. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness and the grace that you've given to us so many times when we've blown it. And we get a clean slate from you just by saying, I'm sorry. Just by saying we repent and make us clean. Help us to do that for other people. Even in the apologies that we will never receive. Help us to let go of those things and to soar with you. We ask God for a mighty touch and empowerment and healing on every single person in this room today. We thank you that for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.